CRJ230, this is your podcast for week number three. Getting ahead of myself, but I can't even believe that it's week three, let alone four. In any event, this is going to be one of the briefer podcasts. I've asked you to go and read a couple online resources that I provided, and you know, you can do that in either order. This week, we're really focusing in on your understanding of relevance and materiality, and those things get confused, but they go together, making it even more confusing. So read those two resources. You can read them before or after. You should go back to them. You should probably save those resources, that information, the links, and be able to go back to those things. What you should get out of this for this week is that all evidence is presumptively admissible. And I say that because a criminal trial is considered to be a search for the truth. And we would, by that statement, you know, that we're searching for the truth, what actually occurred, the truth, the admission of all evidence without filtering rules would be unfair. It could obscure the truth. Probably at no other time in history, at least in my almost 60 years of history, and probably for most of you, for your lives, have we been at this place where determining what the heck the truth is on many things is difficult. People throw things out there every second of the day, claiming their truth. It's problematic. Well, in our professions, in law and justice, we'll listen to what people say. But as you'll learn in this class, there's a whole lot of other things that go into helping determine the truth of what people say. And as our justice system developed in England, our system came through the English common law system, and as it evolved here in the United States, and really, you know, that's been the evolution across the globe now, we developed rules admitting or excluding evidence. And the goal of those rules is to allow evidence to assist a judge or jury in their determination of an issue in the case, to set some parameters, some expectations, so that people can't just get on the witness stand and say whatever they want to say, and the jury or judge is supposed to take that as the truth. In essence, these rules allow the trier of fact, the judge or jury, to consider everything and the weight of everything that they hear. It also allows the court, the judge, to exclude things that are inappropriate to be presented, that aren't there to help filter out evidence, that could improperly influence a jury or trier of fact. So this week, as we explored in week one of the course, we know that we have specific federal and state rules of evidence. Now, Illinois as a state came to that game a little late. As I pointed out in the past, they adopted essentially the federal rules. There are some differences, but not a whole lot of differences. The federal rules really just codified or put into a code type format, common law rules of evidence that had formed over the years to guide the trier of fact towards an informed decision. These rules include requirements that, when applied properly, will help filter out evidence that could improperly influence a jury or trier of fact. Two of these legal requirements are that, one, the evidence must be relevant, and two, the evidence must be material. A slightly different manner of phrasing these two legal requirements is to say that evidence must be logically relevant, and that evidence must also be legally relevant. By that I mean that the evidence must be logically connected to. We're able to connect the dots of that evidence to an issue or issues in the case. If it's not connected to an issue or issues in the case, if it's not logically connected to an issue or issues in the case, it's not relevant. The evidence must also be legally relevant. And going forward, you're going to have a better idea of what legally relevant means as we get into rules. For instance, when we cover around the halfway point of the semester, we get into hearsay. You've probably heard the term hearsay. You probably know what it means. If not, look it up. You should know what it means. Anytime you hear a word and you're not sure, you have all these resources available to you. And you know what? Pick the ones that, like the Cornell Law School or a government site, and you'll get good information. Or findlaw.com, if you went to FindLaw and you put in that request, you will get relevant and good resources to help you understand what hearsay is. But hearsay has a whole bunch of exceptions under the law. We're going to spend a couple weeks on hearsay and the hearsay exceptions, because if not properly applied, if those rules aren't properly applied, it's going to detract from the trier of fact, from the judge or jury's ability to find the truth. There's a third requirement, competency. We will also continue to explore competency throughout the semester as it relates to discovering evidence, to gathering that evidence, to keeping that evidence, and to presenting evidence in a case. Now, those are themes that you should already recognize, and you should make sure that you continue to recognize as being relevant to any role you're ever going to play regarding evidence. In a criminal or civil case, whatever job you have in law and justice. There's a juncture where evidence is discovered. There's a juncture where evidence is gathered. It's collected. There's a juncture in the case where evidence is kept, and it has to be kept so it's not disturbed or destroyed or altered. And then there's a juncture when the evidence is presented in court, in the case, when it becomes most relevant. And you will be part of some or all of those different things. You may be the person who discovers the evidence, who gathers it, who helps keep it safe and secure, and then presents that evidence from a witness stand in a courtroom. The general objective of our discussion for this week is to introduce you to and help you understand the application of these requirements, relevance and materiality. Is the evidence relevant to an issue or issues in the case, and is it material? Does it have a logical and legal connection? This is the week that we really begin to get in the groove of you finding and presenting relevant case examples. And I want you to focus on, as I asked, cases regarding relevance and materiality. Now, many times you will have cases talk about if relevance or materiality is the main issue, both things will be discussed by the court. And a lot of times it's both things that are discussed by the court. And I want you to focus in on really telling us what the facts were and what the court's discussion was on these two factors, relevance and materiality. Start to add those things to your language, to your conversations, to your thought processes, both for your career and, hey, work it into your life. Go home and tell your spouse or significant other in the middle of a conversation, I don't really see how this is relevant material. No, I don't recommend you do that. But your research and your presentation of these real-life cases and your efforts to write and present your summary of the case in your own words, and then the time you spend reading and discussing the cases presented by other people, which will be of the same effort, I hope, that's going to allow you to know how to apply relevant and material evidence, how relevance and materiality, regardless of where you land or spend your time in law and justice, how it applies. I believe you'll find these cases interesting. I believe you'll retain what you learn from your effort to discover and become competent with relevance and materiality this week. And this knowledge is going to serve you as we move into week 4, where we start to talk about competency of witnesses and all the other weeks thereafter. But it's really going to serve you in your career. I can guarantee you that. You can go and ask some of the former students who are now out there working in law and justice. Do you have Higgins for court procedures and evidence? Do you still remember any of that? Do you still use it? They will say yes. It's week 3 podcast for CRJ 230. If you need me, you know where to find me.